Joining me right now to discuss this is former Conservative Party leader Sir Ian Duncan-Smith. Good afternoon to you.
And Julia.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, I know you've got a vote to go and get to, or so we will get straight down to
it. Yeah.
A debate, apologies, a debate. Right, look, we've had the start of the ping pong over the Rwanda bill. Those 10 amendments were defeated. We think there might be some more amendments from Labour and others in the House of Lords. It then comes back to the Commons. How soon, realistically, do you think that could be on the statute book and a flight actually take off with at least one Channel migrant on board?
Well, that, to be fair, is up to the unelected chamber, who almost all those amendments were aimed at one thing, which I honestly generally, I listened to all the arguments about it, but they basically wrecked the purpose of the bill. So we got rid of them all. They've got to go back. And the Lords now.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Has to decide whether or not it's time to accept the will of the House of Commons and get on with it, really.
I mean, with the ping pong, it can go back and forth a few times. Certainly Penny Mordaunt, the business leader, the leader of the Commons in her announcements the other day, gave less and less time each time this comes back to the House of Commons. So basically, the Commons can at any point just say, that's enough now, we're just going to keep it, because the Commons is elected and has precedence. So are we just going through the motions of virtue signalling by the Lords now?
Yeah, no, that's very much the case. I think I heard Chakrabarty on the radio today talking, extolling the virtues of some of the Conservative peers, but the Conservative peers that she was naming, and I really don't think, are really kind of opposed to the bill.
Yeah.
And if you take the action that they're after, you might as well not bother to have the bill. So this bill has one merit, in that it now gives the right, as a result of legislation, for Parliament to decide on those Rwanda illegal refugees and to start shipping them over and not be gainsaid by the legal processes.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. This is the argument. We've got a lot of lawyers in the House of Lords as well, and judges and things saying, look, you know, you've got to have those legal safeguards over who gets put on these planes. We know 150 people have been identified as the people who perhaps have the least chance of getting a legal challenge successfully through the court, so they're the most likely to be put on these planes. I have to say, I'll believe it when I see it, if these planes ever take off, and if we even get 150. Certainly the Rwandan government has said, look, they need it to be staggered. They've got one hotel ready and that's it. Has too much energy from the government, too much of the bandwidth of what goes on in Downing Street been used to deal with this issue, which is nothing close to what Australia did? We're always told this is like what Australia did. It's not. The boat people arriving in Australia, they never got set foot on shore. It basically ended that mass movement of people within a matter of weeks or months. No one thinks the Rwanda policy is going to do that. A handful of people, even a couple of hundred people out of the many tens of thousands who arrived, being sent to Rwanda to basically start the journey again, isn't going to put a dent into the illegal migration problem across the channel, is it?
Well, first of all, what is this about? This is not about sending every single refugee off to a foreign land. What it's about is sending a very strong message to the people smugglers who spend their time charging these people to come across the channel in rickety boats. So it's a deterrent to that. In fact, there was...
No. Nothing is going to deter people who are making... I think now it's at the going rate, it's $5,000 a place on a boat.
Yeah, well,
nothing's going to deter people from doing that.
That route will be deterred, because if you're going to spend all that money and you believe that on arrival you will not get a chance to make your case, that you will be simply shipped because you have come across illegally. That is the purpose of this particular legislation. And of course, if you've got some money, you want to husband that money into the right places to get across, but not crossing by boats. It's the boat stuff, which is really heavily dangerous. The rest of migration has to be dealt with by tougher legal action as well alongside it. And that's the key. And, you know, a lot of this migration issue, people coming, you know, migrants coming in via other routes illegally, is also hugely down to this incredibly long process of challenge and challenge and challenge that goes on in the courts, which costs you sums of money because you've got to house those people here while they're challenging their outcome. So this is a start. It's not the finish. We have a huge number of people coming into this country. And I think we have a huge number of people who have put themselves beyond work. So you do the maths on that and you realize actually what we have to do is two things. One, get those people back to work and at the same time reduce migration. And businesses need to comply with that as well.
And again, that's not just illegal migration, that is legal migration. And again, this is going to be one of the big issues of the next gen election. We know it's a huge issue across Europe, it's a huge issue in the American election as well, not just illegal migration, but just sort of the sheer numbers of people coming into countries. Now, at the end of the day, though, people will say, well, they made it very clear that one of the main reasons lots of people voted for Brexit in 2016 was they wanted to have a say over who could come in this country or not. And 2019, again, talk about tackling immigration. Again and again, the polls have said, even, you know, many Labour voters are still concerned about the sheer numbers. Where are people going to live, etc.? Integration, all these other issues. And yet we've seen sky high, I mean, absolute record levels of immigration under this government. You can, even if you send hundreds of people to Rwanda, even if you send thousands of people to Rwanda, we've still got the issue that the government has quite happily given visas to, you know, 750,000 more people to come to this country net than have left the country in just a year, when the British people have said repeatedly, that's too many people.
One of the problems is the number of foreign students now coming over to study are able to bring their families with them. And of course, that wasn't the case before. That has opened the door to a very significant number of people coming in who get visas for that reason. And then those students somehow stay here afterwards to find jobs, etc. And that means that they're here for a long period of time. So that's been one of the real reasons for the big increase. There are lots of other reasons too. Businesses are still not focused on now trying to get British people to fill those jobs, the training that's necessary. I remember having huge arguments with the, when I was Secretary of State for Work and Pensions, with the heavy goods industry, goods vehicles industry. I had a heavy goods vehicle, a license myself, which I got after the army. It took me 2 weeks to get that. But the cost of that is, I think when I did it, was over £400 or whatever. Lots of unemployed people can't afford to, but they do have driver's licenses. And so, you know, they were bringing people in from all over the place, from Poland right the way through to outside Europe. And when I argued with them...
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
And that if they only invested in getting those courses for those people, They could have them then drive for a certain period of time, like the army does, before they could leave and move to another company. And when we argued all that stuff, they still said no, and they wanted to bring in ready trained. Why? Because they were probably cheaper than British. So it's time for the businesses to face up. They have a role to play in this as well, including in farming.
Yeah, I mean, this is a massive issue for our economy, isn't it? Keeping on bringing in more and more people in while we're leaving so many people on the scrap heap. Not good for them, not good for the economy. Rachel Reeves, the Shadow Chancellor, is making a speech tonight at delivering a lecture where she's going to say that Britain faces a 1979 moment. She's also going to say that she will promise a new chapter in Britain's economic history if Labour are elected. Field, do you think that new chapter will have?
Well, it'll be like the old chapter that they've always written every time they come into power. What's going to happen? Because of external circumstances, the COVID, the huge spending on that, the cost of living crisis as a result of the war in Ukraine, thanks to Russia, all of those things have really battered not just our economy, but other economies. And all of them are in the same position, which they're trying to balance those budgets again and get back into a right line. So first of all, it would be nice if Labour were honest about where we actually were and that this wasn't down simply to government policies. It has been a huge external blow to this country. No other time I can remember in my 30 years, or even some people say since the Second World War, have been buffeted so much by external areas. So when they come into power, they're going to face almost exactly the same issues that the Conservative government faces. There isn't huge amounts of money to throw around the place. And the councils, the Labour councils, are all demanding more money. And they say Labour will give it to them. They've got this green agenda where they had to be pushed back on the 28 billion they were suddenly going to throw at it. And now they're pretending they don't do it. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on them to spend like they had done in the past. And
but
the reality is,
there isn't any money left.
So exactly right. That. And that's exactly what the last Labour, I think, First Secretary, Chief Secretary wrote when we took power in 2010.
Yeah, so there is no money left. Now, can I point out that you did, now maybe a slip of the tongue, but you did just say when they come into power, not if they come into power. This is now the accepted wisdom, received wisdom. Labour are going to win the next general election. Has the Tories given up on winning the next election? Is everything now just completely geared around either a scorched earth policy to make things as difficult as possible for the Labour Party, or is it just really now about trying to scrabble together as many seats as possible?
No, the word when I was using was in reference to your question about her plans for coming into government. I don't actually believe that the country wants Labour. I see all the polling still says around half of the public have not made their minds up, even though they're very angry with us because of all the difficulties they've had, cost of living problems, etc., etc. All these things I understand. But when I go out, and I do a lot, I have to tell you, they are not saying, I want Keir Starmer. In fact, I don't think I've ever heard a single person on the doorstep mention his name. Whereas in
maybe Mrs. Starmer says it occasionally.
Well, I'm not sure about that. But in 1996, everybody said, I'm sorry, I'm voting for Blair. They were very clear about why, and that's because they didn't think there was a threat. And also because he had done lots of stuff to get rid of his extremists. The Labour Party at the moment is probably nearly half of them still very wedded to Corbyn and his policies, and very wedded to the budget policies that Corbyn himself was very strong on. So this is going to be a real tussle for them, and I think the public knows that, and I think therefore they simply can't make their minds up.
Now I know you've got to run to debate. I just want to ask you one final question. We've had all this talk about Tory leadership shenanigans and Penny Mordaunt's name in the frame. We don't know, you know, right wingers behind that or her people behind that. All this game. You were, you know, Tory leader once. You faced an awful lot of this sort of talk. How should Rishi Sunak handle it?
Get on and leave it alone. I mean, the reality is, I thought over the weekend that was just a lot of internal nonsense. And the reality is there's a lot to be getting on with in the next 7 or 8 months because the economy is turning and we do want to wait. Interest rates should come down, inflation will be coming down. That means we can further to this last budget bring more taxes down as that ends up with it. So there is lots that we will do over the next 2 to 3 months, making it very clear what the choice is at the next election as the economy improves. And so that's the reality. Secondly, there are lots of other issues. And I have to tell you, Uxbridge showed that net zero, the people want a cleaner environment, but they are not prepared to pay the trillions in tax that will come directly as a result of rushing to an end date that is stupidly set in statute that shouldn't have been done so and now should be changed. In other words, we should get there as we can, as technology allows, without inflicting a punishment beating on ordinary taxpayers. You know, in my area in North London, they're furious about ULEZ, which was literally a revenue raiser for...
Doesn't improve anything for anyone. Yeah,
absolutely not at all. And there was a report of TfL's reported to the mayor and he tried to bury it. So this is just awful. So we get rid of all of that, turn those cameras on to criminal activity.
That would be an idea, wouldn't it? I'm going to leave it there. I know you're going to make a dash off to the debate in the Commons. Doug Smith, thank you so much for joining us, former Conservative Party leader, of course.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.